This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
10 games left. Lions head coach Dan Campbell this morning, setting records left and right after a historic Sunday. Good morning, coach.
Good morning.
Is there any way to put what you guys were able to do, offense, defense, special teams, into perspective as to how unique and how special that performance was?
No, it's hard to say. I mean, those, you know, they don't come around often. I mean, those are, it just doesn't happen all the time. But we've been a part of a few of these now, and there again, that's a sign of a good team. You know, when you're on top of the details and you play as hard as we played, we played hard, man. We played violent, physical, relentless football, and we're detailed with it. That's what we're capable of. And it was good. And really, look, I said all three phases. Look, our special teams did their part. They just weren't involved that much.
Right.
Because it was, you know, we didn't have to punt at all. I felt bad for Fox. I know he, you know, he's over there. He wants to punt. He's pissed off. But anyway, it was a good day.
So then as a coach, because there's always stuff to get better at, is it harder to coach after a win like that because everybody feels like they just put a great game out there? How do you keep these guys on the tracks?
No, I mean, our guys have been pretty good, man. We don't shy away from what we know it to be. And, you know, if I've got something on my mind, I'm going to say it. And you just, let's call it what it is, man. You know, you have a game like that, you can't let off the gas. You know, this is the next opponent. It doesn't matter what anybody's record is, where you're at, how you feel, how they feel, where we're going. I mean, you got to lock back in again. And we know what we're capable of. But you got to understand, too, this team is like the Colts. We're getting ready to go play those guys. They're very much in that division race. They're in the playoff race. I think these coaches do a hell of a job over there. I think Coach Steichen, Gus Bradley, I think they're damn good coaches. I got a lot of respect for them. And we've had a lot of crossover tape in the last couple of years. So they're going to be ready to roll. But the important thing is that we improve on our end and we continue to play good ball. And, you know, there again, you want to be playing your best football by the time you hit late December, January, and I feel like we're on our way to doing that. That's important.
It feels like throughout the course of the year that you guys have lost just a number of key pieces, and a lot of them on defense, whether it's been, Derek Barnes, it obviously Hutch, and you found a way to overcome those. Now you lose Anzalone for 6 to 8 weeks. How do you replace his, not necessarily his production, I know that's going to be tough to replace, but his leadership and what he means in the locker room for this team?
Yeah, I mean, look, these aren't easy. You know, this isn't an easy one. You know, losing Alex is, it's hard. And you know, you lose another one over there, and it does make it hard. But at the same token, we do have a pretty relentless group, resilient group. They understand that, you know, this is, guess what? This isn't the last thing that's going to happen to us. There's going to be other things going to pop up. We're going to hit more adversity. But our guys understand that we expect that. And it's our job to overcome it. And so look, Jack has done a heck of a job for us now. Well, he's going to take over the green dot. Well, you know, this is not necessarily anything too new for him. I mean, he's held the green dot before. He's done that when Alex has been hurt. He's played plenty of snaps for us. The defense is very comfortable around him. He's a bell cow for us. He plays lights out every week. He's done that since he was a rookie. He's played relentless ball. So he's going to step in and do a great job. We got Rodrigo back. He's doing well. this is one of the reasons we got Neiman here, Ben Neiman. We got a lot of trust in him. He's played plenty of football, smart player. You know, and then we got Zeke Turner, who we got back here. He's for special teams, but there's a place for him, too. We just signed David Long. We'll see where he's at. So we've got guys here that we feel like will pick up the slack and we'll move forward. And AG does a great job of game planning and getting our guys prepared for the next opponent.
Dan, can you talk us through the enviable position of being up 5, 6, 7 scores in a football game and the juggling act of when to take guys out? Like Jared Goff up 36 points in the third quarter. What's he doing in the game? What's the thought process there?
Well, you want to win the game. You know, that's number one. What you don't want to do is you get in one of those and you're up and then you decide you're going to let off the gas and let's get the starters out and then they mount a comeback because it can happen. It can happen. You know, it's funny. I was watching Jacksonville versus Philly 3 weeks before that. And I don't know, it was 23-0, 22-0. And in a matter of 18 seconds, Jacksonville scored 16 points. 18 seconds in the third quarter. And so these things happen, man. And you don't know what's coming down the wire. The odds are low, but man, you got to be careful. You sure as hell don't want to be up like that and end up getting in a dogfight at the end and something bad happens. That's one. Two is you want to make sure that you end on a good note. You know, you're playing good, efficient football. The guys feel good about it. You're in a rhythm. I think it bleeds into the next week, and I think that's important. So we did that. And then the right time is to pull them out there. You know, if you're able to pull them out in the early fourth, great. And we were able to do that. But if you're asking me to pull somebody out in the third quarter, or you're asking me to pull somebody out right before the second quarter, before Anzalone gets hurt, I'm never going to do that, ever.
The rushing attack with both of those guys in the backfield, Gibbs and Montgomery, it seems like you can insert anybody behind that offensive line, and they're able to gain yards. But we had Tarico on when he was doing the Sunday night game for you guys, and he mentioned all of the best teams, there's been a resurgence in the rushing attack, and you guys are calling more runs than you even did last year. What do you think it is about, one, those teams, but also just the resurgence of the running game in the successful teams this year?
Well, I mean, it's always been part of our identity here. I mean, that's been a staple since I got here. We're going to run the football. And so I think that you know, that's what we are. But if you're just looking at what it's been between last year and this year, you know, this is really kind of a new offense. I mean, as far as the pieces that we have, the core's here. But you know, you add a guy like TP, you add Zeitler, so it's not entirely 100% totally similar to what it was last year. So you got to find your own rhythm, your own identity, and it's been good for us. You know, with Dave Montgomery running the way he runs, it's been good for this offensive line, and then the Gibbs coming on like he's been able to, it's really lean that way a little bit. And then the pass game comes off of that. But it's just, that's one of those years where we feel like it's been good for us. You know, we hang our hat on it. We always will. But look, that doesn't mean that, who knows what happens next year. Hell, it doesn't mean that the back half of the season. We may tilt more to the passing game depending on opponent or where we're at or how we feel. And then, look, it's a copycat league. You know, if people look around and they feel like some of the better teams are running the football a lot more, what makes you want to find a way to run the football and then, you know, use some of those, some of the schemes that other teams are doing, you know? I mean, everybody's looking at each other's stuff and trying to improve it and use it to make your team better.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell, Za'Darius Smith, how did he look in his debut in a Lions uniform to you?
Yeah, he did a good job. You know, he did a good job. Stepped in and thought he battled out there. I thought he was, a piece of the puzzle like we talked about. I thought he had a job to do, and I think he did his job. And he'll only get better the more he's around our guys and begins to really understand them and how to play with them and they learn about him. But, you know, for the first time out to come in, I thought he did his job, and I do feel like he elevates those guys around him, just like they'll elevate him.
You've had really good play in the secondary. Brian Branch, I mean, he's been lights out. Kirby Joseph currently leads the NFL in interceptions. And, you know, like the X's and O's and the execution is one thing. But how much of the success in the secondary is just the fact that receivers don't really want to run across the middle against this bunch?
Yeah, that has something to do with it, you know, and that's part of what we are. That's part of our identity. I mean, that's a day one deal there, you know. That's AG. I mean, you have to show that you're willing to hit and that you are a physical bunch in the secondary. And I'll say it again. We've said it all the time. If you want to be known as a physical team, you hit and you tackle on the perimeter. You know, your corners, your DBs. And then on offense, your receivers block and they finish in the run game. That's how you know you got a physical team. That's what we have. So yeah, I think there's enough to where guys know that, you know, they got a decision to make if the ball's coming their way, because our guys are going to hit them. But that's how you play football, man. That's how we play football here. AG said that from day one. It's what I believe in. And Shea and J.O. are doing a great job of carrying that message too and teaching that.
Dan, it looks like you guys are the best team in football, right? Best record, odds to win the Super Bowl, point differential. So I'll ask you, where do you still need to get better?
Well, there's always things to clean up. I mean, there was things in all three units that, you know, like offensively, one of the things that came up here is, well, how do you improve on scoring every possession?
Right.
There was about three of them we could have scored five plays sooner or four plays sooner, you know? And it worked out in that game, but you know, what if you are playing Green Bay, you're playing Minnesota, you're playing Kansas City, you're playing, but whatever it is, you're in one of these, you know, and you're having to go score for score or whatever is going on, you may not have that luxury to get another reload on it. And so that's what it is. You know, you got to clean those up. And then defensively, we had some things come up where, you know, we weren't where we were supposed to be on a few plays, and it didn't catch up to us, but you know, I'll just bring you. You play Josh Allen, or you play Love, or you play one of these. They're going to find it, and it's going to hurt you. And it won't just be an explosive; it's going to be a touchdown. So, you know, there's always things to clean up. You know, was it good? Yeah. Was it improved? Absolutely. But we still have a little ways to go, and we can get better in all three phases. And that's the job, man. Our guys know that. You should strive to be perfect. You should strive to play a perfect game, knowing you never will. But you're always grasping for it. You're always going to try to find a way to absolutely play the perfect game.
I'm sure you have no idea what's being talked about you outside the building, but I'm also pretty sure that you know what your own guys are saying. And when I would love to know your reaction and your thoughts, your emotions, when you hear guys asked the question, hey, you guys are running up the score. And the response is, well, if you don't want us to run up the score, then play better.
Stop it, right?
Stop it.
Yeah.
You know, come out and play better. So your reaction, your thoughts, your emotions when you hear your guys talking with that much confidence?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know where all that's coming from. But yeah, we're just playing football, and we're doing our style of game the way we play. I mean, hell, we pulled our freaking guys out. I mean, early fourth quarter. You know, we're just playing ball, man. This is what we do. And I'm not playing any different, and we're not playing any different than we have since I got here. And we're an improved team. We're a better team. And we're going to play football the way we believe in football. And that's the bottom line. So we got a confident team. They freaking worked their tails off. I mean, you should have seen how they worked on Thursday and how they work during the week for all these games. I mean, they bust their ass. They believe the way you practice is the way you play. And as long as we keep doing that, we keep trying to improve and clean up our errors, we will be a tough team to beat.
He's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. We appreciate the check-in. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
It's 97.1.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And Jared, as always, we appreciate you being with us. 52-6 over Jacksonville. You have a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. You guys score every offensive possession that the starters are in there at any level, going back to junior football, to middle school, to high school, to college. Have you ever been a part of a game where you scored every possession?
No, I don't think so. I think that was the first one for me and a lot of our guys. And yeah, it's never. I think I got this question a lot the last couple of days. You know, you guys make it look so easy. It's not easy. You know, we're working really hard throughout the week. You know, these are all NFL football players out there, and we're working our hardest to try to win. And we're able to have a pretty good one the other day.
We know you well enough to know that you're going to say something along the lines of "There's always a chance to get better." But honestly, how can you get better from that performance?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's a ton of chances to get better. I think, you know, every play provides some chances to get better. You know, even if it's something as simple for me as like ball location or my feet or my eyes, you know, every single play, there's going to be something you can find. And the great ones will find ways to get better. The great teams will. And we're currently still in this race to improve that we talk about all the time. How can we keep getting better and better and better by the time the tournament starts and we can be at our best then?
You guys have talked before about motivation and finding ways to be better. And you look at a game like Sunday, what did you have against the Jags? What did they do to you?
Nothing. We just wanted to come out and win the game. They came in here and we were able to handle business and do our thing. And I thought our defense played tremendous again. I thought, you know, Jack Fox didn't have to do much for us, which is a good day for us on offense. And it was a good day.
It's going to be hard to appreciate him on National Punter Day or National Holder Day if he's not going to be – well, I guess he was holding
a
plenty.
I told him he held his tail off during that game. He did a great job on those holds.
He really did. Ben Johnson kind of came out last week a little bit, and maybe he served as some motivation for the offense to be a little bit better the last couple weeks, maybe not as good as you guys wanted to be against Houston, the quagmire in Green Bay. But did that play a role in what you guys were able to do, or did it just unfold that way? Hey, everything was just – so obvious to us when we're running plays that this is open and this is open.
Yeah, I think during the week we were very intentional about, recalibrating, getting back on track of who we want to be as an offense. I think, you know, you rewind a few weeks, that Tennessee game, obviously the way it was, you know, a big win for us. But offensively, we didn't really move the ball very well. We were just kind of down in the red zone and scoring a ton and kind of an unusual game. The Green Bay game, similarly, just the weather made it a little bit unusual. And then obviously Houston was unusual. So we kind of like, all right, let's get back to who we are, you know, put together some long drives, put together some explosive plays and score some points.
Amon-Ra, 11 targets, 11 catches, and I don't know if there's a defense to this anymore. It's starting to look like a cheat code with you two. How have you ever been a part of a relationship like this at any level where you and a receiver are that much locked in?
Yeah, you know, I've been lucky to have some really good receivers through high school, college, obviously in the NFL. But what him and I have right now is something it's my first time, and he's a hell of a player. He's, you know, him and I see things the same way. We're constantly communicating about the way we want things to go, and he's as tough as it gets. He's as competitive as it gets. He's a guy that, you know, if I'd like to throw to him for quite some time, you know, in my career, and we'd have a lot of success together for a long time.
You know, we kind of joke a little bit about your mobility, but honestly, you look more comfortable moving around this year while receivers are trying to get open. I think it was evident on the first play of the game where you kind of rolled out to your right, buying yourself some time, waiting, and then I think it was Zylstra that you hit and end up going for 22 yards. Do you feel more comfortable running, or is that just kind of – a situational thing on Sunday. I mean, you actually you ran for it on 4th and 1. Didn't even have to worry about Montgomery. You just took what was there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, I mean, I guess, yeah, as the years go on, you get a little bit more comfortable with that stuff. But, no, it's not a big part of my game at all. But, yeah, it's always something that I like to be able to show I can do and put on tape if I have to. I think, you know, we joke about if I can pick up one first down a game, that's kind of, you know, a huge deal for us. And I think I got a couple this past game. And when I do that, it helps us.
Did you get compliments on your sliding?
Yeah, I'm really good at sliding, so I don't think I need to work at that. You know, I'm really good at not taking those hits down the field. I'm not afraid to slide a yard early if I have to.
Is that something your dad taught you when you were a kid?
Yeah, of course, baseball. Yeah, that's where you learn it. That's where I learned it.
Well, you have something none of us here in Detroit have from a fan perspective, and that is Super Bowl experience. And you were on a Rams team that went to the Super Bowl, a Rams team that was 8-0. When that team was at its peak, is this a familiar feeling, or do you think this team is playing better than that team did?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. They're different. You know, it's totally different. And things come and go. Things change. You get hot. You get cold. I think the challenge for us is, like I said, just continue to improve and trying to make sure we're at our best when that time comes in the tournament. And making sure we're ready to go. I think, you know, that these games are all great and dandy to win them by how much we're winning them by, but all that matters is getting that W and keeping ourselves in first place in our division right now. And all that stuff, if it's meant to happen, it will, and we'll be ready to go.
Well, you just mentioned first place in the division, and that's one of the things about this division. It's the best division in football. And if anybody thinks that you guys are going to start to, like, you know, rest on your laurels, you got a team a game behind you and another team 2 games behind you. Does actually have them nipping at your heels help with the focus?
I don't know if it helps, but we're certainly aware of it. You know, we know what's going on, and that those teams are right there on us. And yeah, we may have to win all of them to secure that spot. And yeah, those are 2 good teams, and so is Chicago, even though they're in 4th. But they're a hell of a team too, and we'll have our hands full with them. We certainly did last year. And yeah, our division is no cakewalk, and every game is a tough one.
From an offensive standpoint, you guys have been dominant at times with the passing game and with the running game. Sunday, it was both. How do you describe the identity of what this offense is?
Yeah, you know, I kind of said a few weeks ago, I guess, like, you know, we can morph and change into whatever we need to do to win. And if it is ground and pound, you know, we'll do that. If it is throwing through the air, we'll do that. But like you said, this past week, we could kind of do both. And those games are fun. Those games are really fun. Like I said, after the game, it felt like Ben could kind of call anything he wanted at some point in that game, and we were going to make it work. And I think those guys up front really set the tone for the whole game early on in that game. We were able to have 3 rushing touchdowns to start the game. Like, that's pretty rare, and that kind of set the tone for how the whole thing was going to go.
Can you take us into the huddle of what it's like to be part of a team that's up 42-3? You're getting to the end of the third quarter here. You guys have to be looking around going, wow, this is, we're doing something right here. But what's it like in the huddle? What are people saying?
You know, I wish there was some special, funny thing that was going on. There wasn't. It was just focused, ready to go for the next play, and trying to score again, trying to do no punts. I mean, we were aware of that, and we were trying to score on every drive, and thought that'd be a cool thing to do.
What does it mean to be the Super Bowl favorite? It's something we've never seen before, and I guess it doesn't mean much in November, but, I mean, this team...
Absolutely zero.
Nothing. Nothing.
Zero.
Nothing.
What does it mean? Right? I mean, someone else was the favorite week 1, so what does it mean for them? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah. Well, I guess that describes how you would approach all the praise, which was going to be my next question. My last question is, what'd you make of Hendon Hooker's performance?
Yeah, Hendon's doing a good job. He's getting better every week, and you can see it in practice. He's improving, and he's working hard, and it was exciting to see him out there make some good throws and run around a little bit and lead the crew out there. He did a good job.
I imagine we're probably not going to get a chance to talk to you next week because of the short week, and game plans change each week because of the opponent, but do they change because of a short week?
Does the game plan change? No, I don't think so. I think, you know, maybe sometimes it's a little bit simpler as you go into it, but you still have all your regular stuff, but there may not be just quite as much volume to it. That's all.
Well, listen, good luck against the Colts. We love talking each week, and we'll do it again, well, we hope next week, but I'm not sure what the schedule calls for. But we'll talk.
I don't know either. Maybe. We'll see.
You can give us a surprise call at some point.
If not, have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you.
All right. Jared Goff, Lions quarterback, joining us every week here on 97.1 The Ticket. Dude, I'm reduced to ask him how the backup quarterback's doing because everything else is going so well. You going to be okay over there?
I had more. I just couldn't get to it. I don't know.
Bad drink of water or something?
No, I needed a drink of water. That's what I had. All of a sudden, boom, there it goes.
The people watching the video stream noticed Gator almost lost it.
Yeah.
We almost lost Gator.
Remember when you were good? I turned it to Izzo after a while.
Well, what else did you have?
We had a tough day, man. We were just able to tough it out, you know. Can't wait to get back at Sanford tonight.
Maybe you can ask Doug the questions after the break.
You want to ask what you want to ask?
I can say no. Some of these are questions good for next week.
Yeah.
Or the week after. We'll see.
Jared, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
Eyes on your own paper, Doug.
It's all I want is a coffee. It's all I want. And everybody's trying to hand me these other things. I just want a coffee.
You're not into espresso.
That's in a can. And it's got a bunch of nonsense in there. I don't want that.
Okay.
Nobody cares. We got a football team that just won 52-6. And I got an update guy effing with me with these little Tommy DeVito games he's playing. And I got you messing with me. And I got David messing with me. There's going to be no more.
What did I do?
Lions just won 52-6. I'm not going to be your emotional pinata today.
Boy, somebody's projecting.
No, I'm just, I don't have anything good in my life related to football, and it's disgusting. All I have is to live vicariously through the Lions.
Okay, Mike, why?
What about me? I don't have anything either. What about you? Your team's still going to make the playoffs. I couldn't help that you were dumb like me and went to state. You should have gone to Harvard.
Are they, though?
You're going to be fine.
Yeah, here's Nick Bosa. And now he's gone.
So listen. Outside of this ridiculous behavior by the people around me, Rico said he was going to add a layer to the onion that is the Lions, their latest juggernaut performance.
Here's what impressed me in the game. You talked about the defense, Mike. It was the offense. Looking at this offense and how it's almost too big to fail. Like, no matter what, you're missing pieces, it doesn't matter. So, got me to thinking, and I know you like playing this game, Team A versus Team B. Okay?
Okay.
Team A, at this point in their season, scored 300 points, and their opponent scored 128 points. So basically averaging 30 to about 13 every game that they played within a 10-game sample. Team A had 3,436 total yards of offense.
Oh, Jesus, I need a pen. Okay.
Team B. Team B, in 10 games, scored 336 points. Their opponent scored 177 points. And in 10 games, 3,947 total yards.
Well, clearly one of these is the Lions.
Here's how I'm going to help you out.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Team A, 10 games into the season, 8-2. Team B, 10 games into the season, is 9-1.
All right, Lions or Team B? Who's Team A?
Team A is the greatest show on turf.
I was just...
99 Rams.
I was going to guess.
99 Rams.
Okay.
Marshall Faulk, Isaac Keem, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Ricky Prohl, Kurt Warner. Yes.
Matt Jones, the linebacker. All right, so here's my one. First of all, we brought this up, that if you were going to go back as far as 25 years, the 99 Rams were on the same list as the 07 Patriots for margin of victory per game. Lions are trending in that direction. Yeah, here's my one thing. It's fun, and I like it. Does the fact that it was 25 years ago and they took the league by storm, it was almost like Joe Tiller's basketball on grass at Purdue, how much value can we put in those numbers versus the Lions are operating within a structure where it has been an offensive renaissance? Passing yards in the NFL have been up each of the last 7 seasons. So what I'm saying is, in many ways, what the Lions are doing is actually more impressive than the 99 Rams.
See, I think they're the same because the Rams kind of came from nowhere. The Lions are all of a sudden their offense is it cannot be stopped. And that was the Rams. It was like, where do you stop them?
And you're okay. Right. They had a guy bagging groceries as their quarterback because Trent Green died in the preseason.
Right. And you even had injury for injury because Trent Green got injured. Aiden Hutchinson got injured for the year. So you can't say, oh, well, you know, they didn't go through the same things. Actually, they did. Passing-wise, Mike, the Lions have thrown for about 70 yards more through a 10-game sample than that 99 Rams team. To land the plane, watching this team, I'm realizing more and more and more, you're watching greatness. You are watching the 24 Lions will be something that people will talk about. That 25 years from now, David's kid will be on the radio breaking down 24 Lions versus this team and saying, let's compare the stats of what the Lions did. This team's offense can't be stopped. I don't know what you take away. It was like that Rams team. Marshall Faulk is basically the two-headed monster that you have at running back. The wide receivers, they had it all. They had the quarterback who was the game manager, but ended up being, you know, two-time MVP because he just got the job done. Jared Goff, kind of like Kurt Warner, didn't have high expectations for him. And then he said, no, wait a minute. I really am him. I really am that good. So what I took away from that beating, yeah, it was the Jags, but I'm looking the whole season. This offense is beyond special. This offense is historical.
I'll go there if at the end of this month. You know, you got Thanksgiving. You've got the showdown with the Bills. You know, you've got a couple of big-time games. Now, if they get into December and they're still doing it, I'm with you. I mean, it's a hell of a lot of fun right now, but the historical thing, show me in a few more big games. Show me, and again, a couple of these games are all going to be indoors and at home. I believe you've got three of your next four at home. So I want to wait a little more, but I love where your head is at with it because I do believe this is more than just a really good team. I think it is a moment in time here, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not laughing at it. I'm just a little...
Well, because looking at the offense, it's like, okay, they're better than everybody. They're scoring more points than everybody. So I'm not going to... Let's look at the legendary, and this is a team that won the Super Bowl. That's why I didn't go up against the Patriots team, because this is what you hope that the Lions do. They won a Super Bowl. Ironically enough, they didn't score a ton of points in that Super Bowl. It took a defensive stop to win the game, but you look at ironically enough, too, you know who won the two losses, the Rams, in that first 10-game stretch? Was the Lions. Huh. Here in Detroit, they lost 31-27 to the Lions.
People, what do you make of it? Do you believe what you're watching is his history? I mean, yes, the Lions making and winning a Super Bowl, clearly. But stylistically, and I started the show, I said the biggest takeaway was twofold. A, Doug Peterson is being fitted for a coffin. And B, your defense, specifically your secondary, your defensive backfield, it's the most physical secondary I can remember. And we had a caller early in the show, I think it was a guy named Nicholas, say, maybe since the Legion of Boom. You might be right. Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas. Yeah. Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch. Your corners are more physical to me. But Richard Sherman had a mean side. He had a nasty side to him. And unlike that team, you don't play exclusive zone. You don't just sit in the cover three. You'll man up. You'll get after it. The run support is there. So, maybe the comp is it's the most physical, aggressive, violent, take-your-head-off secondary since the Legion of Boom 10 years ago. I that's the stuff I take out of it. When the team you're playing quits, guys, I have no problem. Have fun. Hey, emulate J-Mo. Do what you got to do, right? All right? You know, you're going to grab your dinky, whatever you like. The point I'm making is when the other team quits, I kind of stop caring. You just don't stop. It's like you're a team of serial killers, and I mean that as a compliment. Like, the focus is just nuts. Starters are still in at the end of the third, early fourth, up 40. We're challenging plays. We're going for it on fourth down.
See, that's one. Dan, can't you just give him that one?
No, I mean, in a lot of ways, Dan Campbell reminds me of like what Tom Osborne was in college football. Like, everyone's like, oh, Tom Osborne, what a nice man. Tom Osborne would murder your children. He would beat your team 77-3. You'd be like, throw the damn towel. It's Pacific.
touchdown, Cornhusker. Like, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just telling you, I take away different things. I mean, you could have, if you wanted, you could have scored 80.
Right.
The Jags did not want to be there.
I just figured, you know what, on the challenge, Aaron Glenn just picked, no, we're not challenging that. Nope, just keep playing. Forget about it. Dan.
I got a dinner reservation. I got to get out of here.
Let it go. Let them have it. They need this one. They need a win.
But are you willing to say you're watching history? And if you're not, fine. But you got to stop being scared and you just got to enjoy it. Don't waste any energy being scared. About what? Being disappointed? Please, you're a Lions fan. You're probably a Wings fan. You know all about disappointment. You're a Pistons fan. You're a Tiger fan. Like, don't put their failures on this team. And don't put this team's past on them. That has nothing to do with this. Those people aren't here. The coaches aren't here. The structure's not here. The owner's not here. The Lions are charting a different path. So live in the now. But yeah, I get it. And I'm fine saying you're watching history. I just think from your point specific to the offense, I need an eruption against the semi-decent team.
But the thing is, they played at least 5 to 6 teams that are going to be in the playoffs this year. It's not
right,
like,
but okay. So the playoff teams, fine. Did they erupt against the Packers?
No.
No. Did they erupt against the Bucs? No. They lost. The Cowboys blow. The Titans have quit. The Jags have quit. Like, I'm just saying, not downplaying. I'm saying if you want me to put them in this pantheon, I need to see it down the stretch.
They're 2 games, Seattle and Minnesota. 2 games that they had the most points against. A playoff, potential playoff
team. What was the final score of that Minnesota game? When Bates?
31-29.
Okay.
31-29, and Seattle was 42-29. Still no team scored over 29 points this season.
Well, I'd hope not. Jesus. Okay. Well, leave it to the people. 248-539-9797. David has no interest in participating. He won't even look at you. He's all high and mighty because his team won without scoring a touchdown.
Oh, let me break down. You want to break down kicking?
What angle did
get you that Jake Bates jersey?
I just want to thank David for once again proving my point on Lamar Jackson. I stand with the city of Pittsburgh.
He can't beat the Steelers. The Ravens can't beat
David,
the Steelers.
David, if it's a big game, he can't win it. You can just say that. You know you can, right?
I'm not ready to say that yet.
Oh, okay, good. All right. 248-539-9797. Here's Rico. I mean, I'm sorry.
Back to the phones we go. The conversation right now is about our Lions. Are you still a doubter, or have they converted you to a believer? Let's go to D first up. D, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. I really appreciate you taking my phone call.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, so basically, I want to say last season, I was a pretty hard Lions fan. I'm pretty hard on them. I thought they were going to lose every week, but after seeing what the offense can do this year, I'm very impressed. I name my fantasy team every season. I guess the record of the Lions that I guessed them at 10-7 this year. So obviously they're going to blow that out of the water. So they're exceeding my expectations, which is great. But so my point I wanted to bring up to you guys and ask you, I listened to the Dan Campbell interview, and I'm worried. The reason I'm still skeptical, do I think they could win the Super Bowl this year? Yes. I think they are a great football team. I think they're the best football team in the NFL, actually. Really, I do. But, you know, Dan Campbell is a rah-rah guy, and he brings the best out of all his players. They love to play for him. Brian Berrien in the post-game interview says, we love Coach Campbell. We want to run through a wall for him. But, and I agree that's important, but what does Dan really do? And when I say that, I mean Ben Johnson could be the best offensive coordinator in the entire National Football League. And Aaron Glenn, although his defense hasn't been great his entire time in Detroit, is really showing up, and his defense is top 5 maybe this year.
D, I think you're going to lose some people with what does Dan Campbell do. I mean,
well, no. So here's my point. Ready? If Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn both leave this offseason, and we replace them with Mark Brunell and Antoine, or I don't know who it could be, Kelvin Shepard or something, who could replace Aaron Glenn. But my point is, if we replace both our coordinators and the Lions win 7 or 8 games next year and don't make the playoffs.
See, why are we doing this right now?
Is the entire fan base going to go, Well, it was all Ben Johnson. Dan Campbell didn't do anything. What are we going to do now? Because here's the reason I'm saying it. No matter who you bring in next season, they will not be as good as Ben Johnson because you can't be better than number one. We're the number one scoring offense in the NFL. So whoever you bring in is going to be worse.
Whose offense do you think this is?
What do you mean?
Whose offense do you think this is? Because when Dan took the job, he hired Anthony Lynn as offensive coordinator. Anthony Lynn was not calling or was not operating the way that Dan Campbell thought it should be operated, so he made the change. And then and actually started calling plays himself and then hired Ben Johnson, promoted him from tight ends coach to offensive coordinator, who brought along Ben Johnson. It's all Dan Campbell. And so I'm not as concerned with you. First of all, I'm not concerned about next year when we are a 9-1 team looking to make a Super Bowl. I don't care who gets the credit. And I don't think Dan does. I don't think Ben does. I don't think anybody really cares who gets the credit. They just want the Super Bowl. But this is all Dan Campbell's offense. Now, Ben Johnson's the one calling the plays on Sundays or whenever they play. But it's all generated from Dan Campbell.
Guys, I'm sorry. That's a bizarre phone call. John's point is right. We're not worried about next offseason and the coaching changes. If you lose both coordinators, yeah, it'll be a question mark. But you have a coach who found those coordinators, who hired them and promoted them in the first place. I'm not sweating next year. Why is that a concern for this year's football team? That Campbell might have a tough time replacing his coordinators after they win the Super Bowl? I mean, who cares?
Who even says Ben Johnson's leaving?
I just say, careful here. You did ask for doubters to call in, so I would...
This season.
What I was going to say is you're going to get delusional people when you ask for doubters.
But what about when Dan Campbell retires from coaching? What will they do
then? What are we going to do then?
Right. Let's get to Alex in Madison Heights. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Appreciate you, too. I just got to say, that last call, real quick, that's absolutely absurd. That's absolutely absurd. Dan Campbell... heart and soul of this team. I mean, even to use the heart analogy, you take the heart out, you're literally not alive. You take Dan Campbell out, we're back in the dark ages. Bunch of nonsense. But no, I mean, 100% Lion believer. You know, as soon as we got Dan, as soon as he came in, gave that initial press conference, it, you know, gave me hope. And slowly but surely, same old Lions has been worked out of my system. You know, I'm really excited by the end of season schedule. We got a couple teams with mobile quarterbacks that, you know, I'm really keen on seeing how we're going to perform against. You know, that is the element, the variable that makes me nervous is a mobile quarterback. We're caught in a shootout. You know, that's kind of gives us a little bit of pain, but overall completely full confidence. Dan Campbell's the man.
All right, mobile quarterback.
He's won them over, but yeah, the one question is mobile quarterbacks.
All right.
They're going to face one this week.
Yeah, they'll face one this week, yeah.
And they faced
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
They're fine.
Yeah. Geno. I mean, he's not as mobile as some other ones, but he is a guy that can pick up first downs with his feet.
And we dropped the call, but he might point out they had Aiden for those games. They'll face Josh Allen before the regular season's over. There'll be games against mobile quarterbacks. Mobile quarterbacks, here's a spoiler, guys. It's a problem for every football team.
Right.
Mobile quarterbacks are inherently more dangerous. Everybody's going to struggle with them. Everybody. So, yeah,
the question is then, can Aaron Glenn devise a defense to limit mobile quarterbacks? Yeah. And some of it is on him. Some of it's the execution of that game plan. And it's the talent that you have on the field.
Yeah, I do think that might be their kryptonite. You know, the Bills game is going to be a real big tell, I think. But this week, you know, I saw some crazy stat. Like, Anthony Richardson has the worst completion percentage of starting quarterbacks, you know, have started a certain amount. But he has the best on deep balls. Think about that. So he's basically the 50% passer that connects on deep balls. Well, we got the two best safeties maybe in the NFL.
Bring it. And he will turn the ball over. He puts the ball in harm's way. Those safeties have been great at taking it away. Let's get back to the phones. 248-539-9797. The question was, are you still a doubter or have you been converted doubter to believer? And what was that moment for you if you were a skeptic before the season? Because we've taken those phone calls. Let's get to Patrick and Warren. Patrick, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I am an absolute believer. I think since Dan Campbell has came into this franchise, and like the last couple callers have said, those pep talks, I mean, they get you hoping, for sure. And I also wanted to bring up another thing that you guys were talking about before the college football ordeal, and that was the Lions running up the score, all the talk on it. I think the Lions are just keeping their foot on the absolute gas for that NFC championship game. I think it kind of messed with their mentality a little bit to where they came out this year and they said, you know, when we come out second half, we're not taking the foot off the gas. We're just going to keep it down.
Yeah, it's easy to understand why a team would feel no lead is safe after having one of the most agonizing blown leads, you know, in NFC championship game history.
Absolutely.
And you can tell the mentality has been seared into this football team never to let their foot off the gas. Now, they still pulled some guys.
Yeah.
But even when they pulled guys, the mentality is you're going to play hard. We're going to challenge stuff that we don't think was called correctly. We're going to go for it on fourth and two, even with a big lead, because it's what we do. Whether the starters are in or not, whether a quarterback's in or not, we're still going to play hard for four quarters. It's been seared into this football team. And I think that's something. They've guarded against a letdown. A lot of teams who overachieve the way the Lions did a year ago, right? Nobody thought they'd be in the NFC title game, have that letdown the very next year. And Campbell got out in front of it when the season ended. He talked about how hard it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
They pulled no punches. Right. And I think he guarded against the letdown, and he has continued to put this team on the straight and narrow. I mean, I love asking him what do they still need to be better at, and he's like, I know we scored seven straight touchdown drives, but you know, we could have scored sooner on some of those drives. They could have been four or five play drives instead of seven or eight play drives.
Right.
Like, he is not going to let them let off the gas.
No, and that's it's the drive that Dan Campbell has, and you see it in both coordinators. You see it through the players and development of the players. The way that guys have continued to improve, not just from season to season, but even in season, we're seeing guys play better now than when they started the season off. Like, there's a lot of different things that point to the arrow continuing to go up for this football team.
Ticket Texter says, bless your heart, Lions and Super Bowl are two things that don't belong together. I'll only believe it when I actually see it. Who cares what some nerds in the desert think?
Well, I mean, they're
running a business.
Yeah. And there's a lot of factors go into.
And it's not the only reason we're celebrating our football team is that Vegas has made them the favorites. It's they're 9-1 with the largest point differential in the league.
There's a lot of factors that play into why we are so excited about this team. The main factor is they're 9-1 crushing opponents.
Yeah.
Hey, look, running through the regular season is one thing. And I don't think this is doubting. This is just a realization of what the NFL playoffs is. It comes down to, and when you say it's Super Bowl or bust, you did that before the season.
Yep, I still feel that way.
It comes down to the 60 minutes every week. Get through that 60 minutes, then the next 60 minutes, then the next 60 minutes. Not the total aggregate of an entire season. You just got to get through every 60-minute period every week. And that can be a crapshoot, what trips you up, whatever.
But
against that, they're more than any other team is.
But what has Dan said from the start of the season? We take the end goal, that's the Super Bowl, and we work our way back. How do we give ourselves the best advantage? That's the number one seed. So you only have three postseason games, but they're all at home.
Best advantage and the best chance to win, but it's not 100.
Right.
Well, no, it's of course not 100, but I would tell you this stretch recently post Aiden Hutchinson's injury has been some of the most encouraging things you could ask for, because you're right, things aren't going to be perfect in those 60-minute gauntlets in the postseason. You're going to face the best of the best, including in the Super Bowl, and you're probably going to have something go against you. They got down 10-0 on the road in Minnesota, won the football game, right? They played Green Bay outdoor in the elements. Still no Aiden. Won the game by double digits. Right? Houston, on the road. They're better rested. They're flying around. You're down early. Still, five interceptions. Still come back to win that football game. So it's solidified to me that, of course, things are going to go wrong. And, of course, they're going to find a way to win those football games.
I just say, you know, what Greg's saying is, like, this team's been, there have been some comps to the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Okay? Recently. That the greatest show on turf had to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 11-6 to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, so that there's going to be a very, very antsy moment, even if they do what we're talking about.
Of course. But we say bring it on.
I mean, there's very few examples, I think, of teams, especially in the parity era, non-cap era, or the cap era of the NFL, where teams truck every team in the playoffs. I know the Patriots in 07, that Charger championship game was not the prettiest of things. And remember, Phil Rivers played through a torn ACL.
Do you know, is this the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
The song?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gang, do you know what song this is?
Yes, it is. The Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Is it?
Good for you, Doug. You a fan?
I am, but I don't. I'm not a huge fan. I mean, I was way into them back in the day. But what song is this? Do you know, does it say?
Dark Necessities.
Dark Necessities. Is it?
First of all, are you questioning? You don't know. I can say
know.
Anything. No, you should disagree. Right. You're like, okay.
I thought I knew the song Dark Necessities.
Liver and Onions.
Right?
Good song. That's the name of an album. Don't try and fool me. Yeah, you could say anything, I suppose. I thought I knew what Dark Necessities was, but I guess not. I kind of like that music.
Do we get to claim them as a local band?
We should.
And Chad Smith, the drummer, is from Metro Detroit.
Yeah.
I want to say Anthony Kiedis is from like the west side of the state or something.
Is this going to work around to I grew up with somebody?
It always does.
It always does.
That's another course in Gator.
That's a Gator U course, yeah. For sure.
Who did he go to high school with?
Mm-hmm. Well, I went to high school with a kid who lived next door to Chad Smith.
Yeah, of course.
Growing up. Mm-hmm. So when I was in high school, we got to interview Chad Smith when he was a member of Toby Red. Right, it was I think a year before he went to joined up with the Chili Peppers.
Is Anthony Kiedis from Michigan?
I'm checking that out. Yeah. He was born in Grand Rapids.
Bang, there you go. So yeah, I think we get to claim them.
I think so.
Man, yeah,
why not?
Is Chad Smith? He's the one that wears Michigan gear.
He's the drummer. He's the one that looks like Will Ferrell.
Yeah, tall.
Usually wears a Tigers hat too.
Yeah, love it. All right. So anyway. Lions and Colts coming up on Sunday. And look, you know, they keep losing guys on defense. We just mentioned four starters. Like if you said at the beginning of the season, by the middle of the year, four starters are going to be out, including both edge rushers, the middle linebacker, and I mean, another guy that can pressure the quarterback in Derek Barnes. We would have said, it's a disaster, right?
Yeah.
That's a formula that typically is a disaster. It hasn't been. Now, this will be the first game they play an entire game without Alex Anzalone, and it's the first game where I'm scared of what the opponent can do I think this might be a game where Anthony Richardson's ability to make plays with his feet create a real problem for the Lions defense.
Well, if you were Aaron Glenn and you're scheming things up in the lab, getting ready for this game against Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
What would you choose to do? Where would you focus your defensive attention on?
I would, you know, they always talk about rush lanes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that staying in your rush lanes might not lead to a lot of QB pressures. And it might not lead to a lot of sacks, but it might keep him hemmed in. And so I would probably do that and lean on the defense's strength, which is the secondary. Hey, we won't get a ton of pressure, but damn it, you guys can cover and hope that, you know, that the secondary can cover long enough that eventually the defense, the pass rush will get there. But I would really, really focus on staying, that old cliche, stay in your rush lanes. I would really focus on that.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's important to do that. And I think the focus should be to not let Richardson take off and go and start running downfield. I don't have much of an issue putting the corners on an island. I don't respect their passing game enough.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the Lions play a lot of man-to-man coverage anyway. So I'm not terribly concerned about that. And I think this could be just a matchup nightmare for Indianapolis trying to match up with the Lions because of the way the Lions play defense anyway. So if that means that, look, you don't, the term spy gets thrown around perhaps too often. But I do feel better about having a linebacker that can run sideline to sideline who's backed up by the best safety in football, who can beat this missile all over the field and help keep things in check too. But if you keep the integrity of your passing lanes, your pass rushing lanes, then I think they can be fine. And knowing that they're so solid in the middle with Reeder and McNeil and whoever else, if you want to throw Enzarika back in the middle or whatever you're going to do there, if Broderick Martin's going to get some run, I don't know. But you know, you got to stop Jonathan Taylor as well. So to me, it's really, it's stopping the running game. The running game is a two-headed monster with the quarterback and the tailback. And the Lions are awfully good against the run. So I think it could be a long day and a frustrating day for Indianapolis. And if they're going to try to throw the football, and Richardson's still very unproven as a passer, well, then we'll see how the secondary reacts. But we know that Kirby Joseph is a ball hawk, and Terry Arnold is just getting better and better by the week.
Yeah, I think if you're Lions, you just stay in your lanes, like you said, Doug. Stay in your rush lanes, and you play a lot of man-to-man and force Anthony Richardson to throw into tight windows. Now, last week, Richardson had his best game as a pro, okay? And they played the Jets' defense. Say what you want about the Jets' offense and Aaron Rodgers, but the defense is still good. They play a lot of man-to-man there. Richardson had a decent day. You got to prove it again this week. Can you do that back-to-back weeks? I think they'll mix in zone every now and then just to confuse Richardson, but most part, they're going to play man and make him throw into tight windows. The Lions have good cover corners. They have the safeties as well back there. The thing is, though, when you play man, and if Richardson does break out of that containment, a lot of the DB's back is going to be towards Anthony Richardson, and you're not going to see him coming. So that's where he can break off these long runs.
On his own defense.
Exactly. So I think it is mostly man. You mix in the zone to confuse him, but you force him to be accurate because he's only done it 1 week so far. Can he do it again is the question.
248-539-9797. Let's get to your phone calls. Matt, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Matt.
What's going on, fellas? Happy Friday. Happy Lions weekend.
Yes, you too.
So we are actually getting ready to cross into Indiana right now. We got 15 guys, three cars, and we're going to tear up Lucas Oil.
There you go.
I got to tell you, first of all, I don't know if you have you ever been to Indy, Matt?
Yeah, we went about 8 years ago.
Yeah, great town. I mean, this is a fun city. If you can, you probably already have plans, but just advice to everybody, stay downtown. And you're going down today, so you're going to have all day tomorrow. What a fun city to go to for a sporting event. I think they've really got a great setup.
We got some rooms at the Westin, and we're actually planning on hitting up the Winner's Circle Sportsbook tomorrow.
Sweet. Oh, cool. Yeah. You're not going to be alone, Matt. You're not going to be alone. Yep. You might not see a lot of Lions fans today making their way down there because it's a Friday. It's a work day. But you'll probably see a lot once you're down there.
Yep, and we'll be full force on Sunday. Let's go, boys.
Yeah, sounds good, Matt. Represent.
We will. Thank you.
See ya.
I hope there's a ton. It feels like there's going to be a ton of Lions fans there.
Without question.
Yeah. One of the things I love about living in this area is the proximity we are to so many other big cities or great cities in this country and internationally. 5 hours. 5 hours can get you to Toronto. Can get you to Buffalo, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Chicago, Milwaukee, Indianapolis, all over the place. Can get you to UP if you want to go up all the way up north and anywhere in the lower peninsula in our state. It's awesome where we're at. Pittsburgh, you can get to there as well. It's just so many great cities, and Indianapolis being one of them. It's awesome for the Detroit Lions fans that get to travel to those cities. Let's make a day of it. Okay, because you don't have to spend the night if you don't want to. You know, you don't have to make a whole weekend of it, but you can do whatever you want.
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so I mentioned that I thought this was a sneaky game. There are the obvious big games, like Green Bay, Buffalo, left on the schedule. Those are obvious big games. To me, this game is like a sneaky big game. This is one where you look at Indy. They're a game out of a wild card spot. They're 5-6. Flacco had lost those two in a row after he got the starting spot. They go back to Anthony Richardson, and bam, they looked way better. And it's a team that, you know, has played a lot of close games. Gator, I just feel like this is one of those sneaky big games on the schedule that honestly, we shouldn't be shocked if they don't win it. It goes back to Jared Goff's point about how this stuff isn't easy and it's being processed a little bit by everybody, including us, because they do make it look easy. They have made it look easy. But this is a tough game. This is a feather in the cap, in my opinion, if they go win it.
Well, it's not easy to win in the NFL. And I'm not shocked any week if any team beats anybody, because we've seen it happen time and time again. I'll be surprised if it happens, because the Lions are far superior to Indianapolis. But I think you always have to be open that, yeah, the other team can rise up and your team doesn't get off to a good start and things can spiral out of control. Fortunately for the Lions, they've had that happen a couple times already this year, where maybe they weren't ready to start the game and then all of a sudden they get the bearings under them and they start playing ball again. Whether it was Houston or, I don't know, was it Arizona? Or it was some earlier game in the season, the third week in the season or something like that, where they struggled a little bit early and then just took off.
Yeah.
So I fully expect them to handle their business on Sunday.
All right. Great commercial break, by the way. Great conversation. Gentlemen, let's go Lions. Let's talk about this. Well, we'll get back into Bryce Underwood a little later. So last week, I've never seen a worse NFL game. I've never seen a team quit the way the Jags did, nor have I seen a team more motivated to kill said team than what the Lions did. Seven possessions, seven scores. We're up 36. F you. We're going to burn your house down. Jared Goff's in the game in the fourth quarter. See, this is a weird game this week. I want your perspective on this. When you play to pack, there's a motivation. We're going to Lambeau. The Houston thing, prime time, big game. Yeah. Hey, we escaped last week. We're coming home. We're playing the Jags. Refocus. This game is a weird one. It's a nondescript road trip. You've been flying really high. You've been playing some great football. You haven't won this many games in a row since, like, maybe ever. I know the last check was, like, 1960. TJ, is there any element of this where you have to refocus as a locker room and go, hey, we're on a business trip this week? Like, last week, that ain't real. This team is going to play. Like, this team is coming for our neck.
Yeah. Refocus? No, because I think this team realizes how good they are. And Dan Campbell and the leaders do such a good job of just making it about themselves rather than focusing on the opponent. Hey, we got to stop this guy. We got to stop that guy. We can't let this guy get going. Hey, circle this guy.
Yeah.
They don't. They still do that. Don't get me wrong. But I think they make more of an emphasis on, guys, this is about us. The talent that we have, the style of football that we play. If we play our type of game and we don't turn the ball over five times and we don't have 12 penalties in a game and we don't do stupid stuff, you know, on third down or in the red zone, it's about us, right? So I think that that's more of the focus for them, and I think that that's warranted. You know what I mean? I think that if as long as they continue to take care of their business and lock in like they have over the large part of the last 2 years, no, they're the best team in the NFL when they do that, right? So I think that that's the focus. But you're right, though, and I'll just finish with Seth. Anytime you play an AFC team, take out Tennessee, take out Jacksonville, because they're the ass of the league. We all know that. But you play a Houston team, and you're not familiar with them. There's a part of familiarity when I play the Packers or the Vikings or we play the Bears. Okay, I know what these guys do. I know the speed, right? I've felt this guy's bull rush before. I know exactly what I'm facing. When you play a team that you only play every 4 years, it takes you a little bit to get going. You know what I mean? Okay, I've never played this guy. He's been in the AFC. Yeah, maybe I played him once 4 years. I don't really remember that muscle memory of what it felt like in these individual matchups. I think that's where it can slow you down a little bit and take you a little bit of while to get going. But I'm with you, man. I think I told you guys a couple weeks ago, maybe it was the morning show on a Monday, but I was just looking. I'm like, don't overlook that Colts game. I mean, they're a tough team. Like, they've had some quarterback issues. Don't get me wrong. Anthony Richardson earlier in the year, we all know what happened when he took himself out of the game. Joe Flacco looked great and then whatever. Anthony Richardson's coming off his best game as a pro from last week. And this is a tough team that if you let them hang around, they got some talent, man. They do. And they've, I think in the 10 games they played out of 11, one was a blowout. The other 10 games are one score games. So you look at that, you say, okay, you don't underestimate them, Mike, to answer your question. But at the same time, you realize this is about us, right? As long as we go in there, take care of our business, you can't really use the road excuse anymore with the way that Lions fans travel. No, I'm talking about going into hostile territory, which is a testament to those guys.
Is real.
But yeah, I think it's more about, and Dan Campbell says this all the time, we got to improve. We got to find ways to improve ourselves before we even start worrying about who we're playing, the numbers on the names on the back of it. This is about us. So as long as they take care of that, it should be another fun road trip.
My thing is this. When you look at some of their blowout games, it seems to be a little bit of a hangover in that next game. The Dallas game, that was the most embarrassing game to me because that was personal. And you could see that it was personal.
Yeah, they were trying to embarrass him, which every team in the NFL should try to embarrass
the Cowboys.
But
then the next week against Minnesota, you fell behind, you battled back, you won. Same, you played Tennessee. Tennessee didn't want to be here. The next week, you beat the Packers, but not necessarily your best game. It was just the Packers kept shooting themselves in the foot. So I just wonder, will it be a little bit of a hangover? Same thing. You go out there, you destroy the Jags. Will it take them a little bit of time to get back to reality and realize, oh, wait, this is a real NFL team and not the people that we just played last week?
I think more so hangover, no, because I think they do such a good job of just turning the page. And even after, none of those guys are showing up Monday, you know, pumping their chest out saying, we just beat the hell out of the Jags. Like, man, look at us. We're the king. Nobody's doing that. And you even got a sense of it after the game. You're listening to Coach Campbell's speech, and I think Jared Goff said some words, and it's like, hey, boys, we did what we had to do. We're on to the Colts, right? They're able just to focus day by day, week by week. Who cares what happened last week? This is about us. So that's something that I admire about them, because that's difficult to do, in my opinion. So I don't think it's if they do get off to a slow start, I wouldn't say as much as a hangover because you just beat the hell out of the Jags, as it is, we're playing an uncommon opponent. We're playing a desperate team at this point of the year. It's hard to scout for things like that. So if there is a slow start or it does end up being a close game, I don't think you can point at it and look and say, oh, man, they're just riding high from last week. You remember, and sometimes you got to remind yourself, like you did the Houston game, we go out there and we play kind of half-assed, and, you know, we're just kind of a little slot. It can get away from us in a hurry, right? And that's the NFL for you. You don't expect to win every game by, I think they're winning margins like 18 points in all their victories this year. That's insane. It's unheard of. You expect close games. You know that. It turns out to be a close game. You got to adapt, which I think this team has shown they can do. We got to get into a shootout. Let's get into a shootout. Hey, offense is struggling. Defense, we need a bunch of stops. Okay, go shut out Houston in the second half and let us catch up. They've shown they can win all sorts of ways, and I think that's a valuable reason of why they have been the best team in the NFL so far.
I got a critical. We have the TJ Lang critical question, by the way.
Oh, boy.
No, don't worry. Hermetic. Okay. It's been hermetically sealed. And on the flip side, though, before I ask you that, I do want to ask you about Anzalone. How big of a loss? You lose your green dot. I'm not saying Jack Campbell can't fill the role, but week to week, how jarring is that for a defense? Think about it. We're going to get to that momentarily. That way we got enough time for the TJ critical question.
Oh, that's not the critical question.
No, the critical question's under hermetically sealed conditions, and it's going to pit the two of you against each other. It's going to be very exciting. So we'll get to that momentarily.
It's not about politics, is it?
No. Okay. What the hell is wrong with you? If you purchase
your... I know you're divisive, Michael.
Right. If you purchase... You know, I got to tell you, you two are a real problem today. Health insurance, listen up. Time to renew for 25 open enrollment. December 15th is your deadline. I hate everybody. Don't waste your time trying to navigate on your own. Call Mike Papur. He'll do it for you. Mike's taking... I mean...